evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'm always so struck by that chant. It is, every time I've chanted it, I don't know how many thousands of times in my life, and every time I'm so, just so moved to reflect on the language of that chant, because it is so large that in order to, I mean, may we completely understand the Tathagata's Gatha's true meaning, rarely encountered even in hundreds of thousands of millions of ages. I mean, that's a pretty big promise, isn't it? And it requires, if we're going to say that, we're called to reflect on, okay, so what is this to me? What do I mean? How seriously do I take this? I could start every single talk out with connecting it to the theme of the talk. And so what I'm going to talk about today is vows. Vows to awaken. This time of the year, we generally reflect on what's come before and what's coming up in our own individual lives and collectively what's going on in the world, which is pretty stunning right now. And we can reflect on how we've been behaving, how we want to behave, and what are the things that we can become aware of that would help us bring our life into alignment in a way that we can be really gladdened and supported by all our blessings. So practice vows are all about this. And they're necessary in order to keep going in the direction of being an awake and mature human being. We talk about deepening our practice. What we're practicing is being a true, realized human being, using all of the equipment that's built into us, psychically, emotionally, muscularly, to behave at the top of our game, and to realize the true situation that we are part of, the true world that we are part of, for ourselves. What is our experience of this? So when we practice, when we're sitting in zazen, if we're not using a particular method to deepen concentration, but are just generally opening awareness, what are we opening awareness to? The fullness of our experience. So really valuing this vow, practice vows are all about how thoroughly can I attune myself to what I experience. What is my true experience? This is really true now when it comes to the climate crisis that we're in. And we can look at, what the reporting is by the media and the government about that. We can also look at what is my experience now in my environment, right? And we do that in our lives daily anyway. So being able to quiet our mind as we do in this practice, and be able to come back to quieting mind again and again and again, is how this leads to transforming and kind of laying claim to our full capacity and our wholesome habits, into being a human being who's really present. Actually, in a way, who's as present as animals are. In many ways, we're much less present than animals. So if we don't keep practicing and being present to our internal processes, we continue to reinforce old habits, following mindlessly all the distractions and confusions and desires, other people's versions of the world, our own versions and aversions, all of these habits of mind that we bring into the world and that color and guide how we behave. So what we practice, we refine. And what we refine, we increase. So having a practice vow or vows is very important if we want to continue to go in the direction that will gladden our hearts. And without practice vows, we can show up at a Sunday sit occasionally or for a lifetime, coming when you feel like it, doing some zazen at home. And this is what I call thread practice, and it's fine, but it is thread. It's a thread. It keeps Dharma practice going. It keeps it in mind, but just. So it's like eating a bowl of very thin soup every day. And pretty soon you get weak and run out of energy. So it goes with anything that we're doing. So you can have a make-do practice, but it won't really yield the transformation that regular practice grounded in vow and a sense of vow and awareness of a vow will do for you. And especially when you're working, you're living a workaday life. A practice vow can keep you firmly on the path of mindfulness and taking refuge in the Dharma for guidance, wholeheartedness, and ethical nutrition. Because when you're living the workaday life, there's all kinds of ethical stuff going on all over the place, and it is really practices it, and practice vows and precepts are a wonderful anchor for coming back to and guiding us in how we want to respond to all the various situations that come up all the time. So without a practice vow, there are so many distractions that the balance can easily tip over into taking refuge in the distractions and thus reinforcing and strengthening desires. There's no end to desires through desire. There's nothing wrong with desires, but they are what they are. They don't lead to peace and they don't lead to growth. Except the wholesome desire to be an awake and responsible human being. There are wholesome desires. So remembering that all things work together, if we want to live with a mind of awakening, we have to live in an awakening mind. So thus, vow. Nakagawa Soen Roshi, who is a great poet and Zen master, and wrote a terrific book that I highly recommend called The Endless Vow. I believe we have it in our library. So this is a little quote from him. The spiritual interrelationship garden has no specific place. Rather, the entire cosmos is the garden. All animate and inanimate beings. This garden has no specific place except right here. Everything that you do is the place. Everything that you do is the way. And our practice helps us to realize this for ourselves. Yun Man wanted so much to teach his students this. Yun Man, who lived 1,100 years ago. Here's a quote from somebody who lived 1,100 years ago. Mm-hmm. Let me take the whole universe and put it on the tips of your eyelashes. It's a great quote. That's a great image. That's what practice does, huh? Let me take the whole universe and put it on the tips of your eyelashes. As long as you aren't your own master, you may think you have gained something from what you hear, but it is secondhand merchandise and not yours. So he's really urging us, you know, take the vow to really plumb your experience. Unless we each realize this mind of awakening in our own personal ways, in our own idiom, in our own skin, bones, and marrow, then all this study and Zen words is useless knowledge, so much trash. As so many of the great masters have said, just throw it out. So many words, so many concepts. So that brings up the question, how intimate do you allow yourself to be during Zazen? Or during standing and doing nothing? How intimate? How real? How open and alive do you allow yourself to be during Zazen? You know, so I forget who it is, but one of the Zen masters said, do Zazen as though your hair is on fire. Now that's really paying attention, and that's what it means, bring all of it forward, bring all of it up. So the practice vow takes us from longing to fulfillment, over and over and over again. 1 minute's fulfillment has no meaning for the next minute. So Soen Roshi was a very, very sensitive human being. And also, according to all the rumors, was a profoundly depressed person. But he was also very awake. So that's important to know. It kind of washes away any kind of idealized image we have of what practice will do and what it won't do. Anyway, before he woke, he was awakened, but he was ordained, he was practicing far and wide. He wrote a little poem. These trashy poems I respectfully offer to the other shore. The other shore, you know what that refers to, which is we practice to awaken and to cross over the ocean of delusion and desire and despair to the other shore. But later, after he realized the teachings as his own mind, as his own experience, his own ever-changing experience, he writes, tears of gratitude, biting into a cucumber, Dharma flavor.
Wow.
But wait, then it keeps going. Awakening after awakening, right? That's what we do. And it deepens. And he wrote, matter of great urgency, a nut rolls away alive. Who's the nut? Dogen Zenji also encourages us to realize in our own bodies and lives the very personal meaning of the Dharma words. He says, still, if you're wandering about in your head, you miss the vital path of letting your body leap. Let me read it again. Still, if you're wandering about in your head, you may miss the vital path of letting your body leap. He is very specifically describing the leap of letting go and just presence. It is a very specific, he's just practically putting us there with that image. If you're wandering about in your head, you may miss the vital path of letting your body leap. But the actual practice with your whole body, breath, and mind of sitting upright in each moment fully expresses the wholeness of who you are. It does, whether you realize it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, he calls this practice enlightenment. We're doing it whether we realize it or not. So that's where that term realization comes from. Because what you do is you realize what's always been here in a way, in a fresh way that brings it all really lively. Ordinary words, ordinary meaning. So I want to come to miles per hour. How fast do you move most of the time? Do you move 30 miles an hour, or 60 miles an hour, or 70 miles an hour? I don't mean in a car, although most of us move most of those miles per hour at times. But I mean generally that feeling of, you know, go, 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 go. Always on to the next thing. Which can be very joyful and fine. This is not a criticism of it, but it's just pointing out that it takes a strong vow to become a slowed down person. It takes a strong vow to remember, to recollect the deeper layer of ourselves. Can you be a slowed down person? Can you notice your speed and apply the brake? This is the way of practice. And sometimes it's really helpful when we sit down to meditate to even bring to mind, okay, how fast am I going? 40 miles an hour. So let me pump the brakes and go to 30. It brings an embodying instruction, self-instruction. Okay, now to 20. Now to 10. You know, it can be really, if you're driving fast for a while, it's really impressive when you start to pump the brakes to slow down. Mm-hmm. How much slowing down has to happen. I lose track when I'm going fast for a while. So this is how we practice. If I were to describe a practice vow, it might include, I will attend to each breath, one breath zazen. Aitken Roshi used to say, remember one breath zazen. That's a practice that can be done throughout the day, one breath zazen. That really reminds us how fast we're going. Mm-hmm. And it can be very refreshing just to stop and recollect. I will feel each footstep, noting what in my body is involved with it, noting what the step leaves behind. That's inspired by the Thich Nhat Hanh instruction in his book on walking meditation, which is, as you walk, be aware of under the back foot as it lifts up. So what the footstep is leaving behind. And there are a lot of variations on that. Be aware of what it's like to be the ground receiving your footsteps. And when I do that, it's like my footstep is my state of mind. It's one and the same thing. I will note each feeling of aversion, noting what it pushes away, rejects, and then offer metta, loving kindness. When I speak, I will notice my tone, my intention, and notice how it is to listen to the other person. Really listen. The stopping that's involved in really listening. Even physical stopping. Any little gesture is a slight distraction, right? It's body language that you're a little bit, oh, you're thinking of something else. Just really notice when you're listening, how you're listening. I will offer blessings over tea, coffee, juice, water, whiskey, beer, anything I eat. May all beings be filled and satisfied. May all who are thirsty drink deep of Dharma refreshment. So what is Dharma refreshment? Seeing into the vast sky of our true nature is very refreshing. Looking up at the tops of trees and into the spacious sky. How often when you look up at the tops of trees do you see a bird up there? Just about all the time. Sometimes it's dark and oozing rain. It's a wonderful practice to walk in the dark when it's raining. sometimes the sky is blue, remarkably blue, and sometimes the sky is white. We might say, if we're on automatic, we might say the sky is gray today, but it's not, it's white. So, you know, just everything is a moment of our life, and we can really be intimate with it. All the possibilities of looking at something in a new way, of being free of preconceptions, free of our notions of who somebody else is, of who you are, of what the next moment will bring. A clear, full breath, or rain, a sense of ease, struggle, anguish, joy. All this is Dharma refreshment. All of it is refreshing. Even the difficult places can be refreshment when seen with an open Dharma eye. Because one of the things that's true is any state of mind is a passing thing. It's a passing thing, and it's part of our humanness. It's part of our ability to be compassionate. If we lose the ability to feel the whole range of our feelings, our compassion becomes very, very narrowed. In my experience. So my practice vow may also include, when reaching for the telephone, I recall what interdependence means. For others, the other is me. That's Aitken Roshi. Mm-hmm. I recall what interdependence means. For others, the other is me. So we can think about what is the vow when putting on the seatbelt? What is the vow when going through a doorway? So Aitken Roshi has this whole book of little, very, very short vows. And it's called The Dragon That Never Sleeps. It is in our library. And it's pretty interesting to look at. He says, he describes the function of gatas and vows. So a gata is one of these very, very short vows. As lay Western Buddhists, we pick our way daily through an agglomeration of compelling reminders to pamper ourselves and serve no one else. So gatas can remind us to serve others. Pointing out the practice vows always are lived in the bodhisattva spirit, to do no harm, to do good, and to save all beings. So this is the, you know, if we ask, what does my teacher teach? What did Aitken Roshi teach? This is what he taught. Every moment is it time to be thoughtful, to be kind, to be of service, to be awake. Every moment of our life. This is a possibility for human beings. If we hold this intention, are clear about the joy of living in such a way, enjoy the connectedness of it, the display of it, the poignancy of it, we come to know so clearly who shares our breath, who shares this breath, this little piece of the universe. So this is another one of his gatas. Sitting alone in Zazen, I vow with all beings to remember I'm sitting together with mountains, children, and bears. Practice vows in and of themselves transform our life into the way. Only occurs in the daily round. So Aitken Roshi again, lathering up for a shave, and I always think of his little pointy beard when I read this. Lathering up for a shave, I vow with all beings to cut off my silly vanity and trust what is there underneath. Here's another one. Whenever I'm tempted to smoke, I vow with all beings to respect the marvelous process of air transmuting to blood. I read today that there's now a new treatment for quitting smoking that involves taking psychedelics. Not bad. Is it going to be covered by Medicare? Kicking a chair in the dark, I vow with all beings to let the pain and surprise slow me down to this step, this step. For a lifetime of slowing down enough to become minutely interested in what is coming toward you. What is coming up? What's coming down? What's coming out? What's coming forth? What are your vows? Now is the time to reflect on that. What are your vows going forward? We're going to be having a 90-day intensive practice time coming up. I'm kind of calling it 90 hours and 90 days, but I don't know if people can commit to 90 hours, but whatever is a step up for 90 days. And then at the end, we'll have a personal vow ceremony. Mm-hmm. So please, if you're interested in doing that, begin to think about that. It'll be announced in the newsletter when we're ready to get started. But whether or not you're going to do that, do think about the vows that you will carry forward into this coming, I imagine, fairly difficult year in the life of the world. Mm-hmm. So let's just, before we finish, let's together chant page 79 in your book. And if you know the tune, start right up. If you don't, then just join in and you get the idea.
You want the bell?
3 minutes.